The air in the poker room, thick with the smell of stale beer and ambition, often feels most charged before the first community cards even hit the felt. It's in these initial moments, long before a flop can even hint at the future, that some of the most profound strategic decisions are made. Among them, the 3-bet stands as a declaration, a challenge, a sophisticated weapon in a player's arsenal. To truly grasp its power, we must first peel back the layers of its definition, for in poker, even the simplest actions carry hidden depths. Imagine a hand unfolding. The blinds, those forced bets that kickstart the action, have been placed. The player under the gun, the one immediately to the left of the big blind, facing the unenviable task of acting first, decides to make an initial wager, perhaps 3 times the size of the big blind. This is the first bet of the round. Now, another player, seeing this initial bet, decides to increase the stake, pushing it higher. This act is known as a raise. In the lexicon of poker, this first raise over the initial bet is often termed a 2-bet. So, when a third player, or perhaps even the initial bettor, decides to re-raise that 2-bet, they are making a 3-bet. It's a re-raise of a raise, all happening pre-flop, before any of the shared community cards are revealed. This isn't just about putting more chips into the pot. It's a statement, a strategic gambit that can reshape the entire hand. Why would a player choose to make such a bold move so early in a hand? The motivations behind a 3-bet are far from singular. They are a complex tapestry woven from desires for dominance, information, and profit. At its core, a 3-bet is often about extracting value. When a player holds a premium hand, the kind of cards that make a heart beat a little faster, a 3-bet is a direct invitation for opponents to put more money into a pot that the 3-bettor fully expects to win. It builds a larger pot, ensuring that when those strong hands do hold up, the reward is substantial. But the 3-bet is not merely a blunt instrument for value. It's also a finely tuned sensor. The way opponents react to a 3-bet, whether they fold immediately, call tentatively, or even re-raise themselves, provides invaluable intelligence. It's a peek behind the curtain, offering clues about the strength of their holdings, their willingness to gamble, and their overall playing style. This information, gathered before a single community card is dealt, can guide decisions for the rest of the hand. Beyond extraction and intelligence, the 3-bet serves as a defensive maneuver, denying equity. Think of those marginal hands, perhaps suited connectors or small pairs, that might not be strong enough to call a large bet but would be perfectly happy to see a cheap flop and potentially spike a big hand. By making a significant 3-bet, a player forces these hands to fold, preventing them from realizing their potential and potentially outdrawing the 3-bettor's stronger hand. It's a preemptive strike, cutting off oxygen to speculative holdings. Furthermore, a well-placed 3-bet can be a tool for isolation. In multi-way pots, where several players are vying for the same pot, the complexity and variance increase dramatically. By 3-betting, a player often reduces the field, narrowing it down to 1 or 2 opponents. This makes post-flop play considerably simpler, allowing the 3-bettor to focus their strategy on fewer adversaries, especially when holding a strong hand. It's about creating a more controlled environment for their advantage. Finally, and perhaps most subtly, 3-betting is crucial for balancing a player's range. If a player only ever 3-bets with the absolute best hands, opponents would quickly catch on. They would either fold immediately, denying value, or call only with hands strong enough to beat that narrow range. By occasionally incorporating bluffs, weaker hands that are unlikely to win at showdown but have some playability or block key opponent cards, a player makes their 3-betting range look wider and more unpredictable. This prevents opponents from accurately deciphering the strength of a 3-bet, ensuring that when the 3-bettor does have a premium hand, they are more likely to get action. It's the art of deception, crucial to long-term success. Now, let's turn our attention to one of the most powerful, yet often misunderstood, forces in poker: position. In simple terms, playing in position means that you act after your opponents in each betting round after the flop. This seemingly minor detail is, in fact, a colossal advantage, and its influence on 3-betting strategy cannot be overstated. Imagine sitting at a poker table, The player who acts first on any given street is said to be out of position, while those who act later are in position. The later you act, the more information you glean from your opponent's actions before you have to commit your own chips. This allows for more informed decisions, better control over the pot size, and more effective bluffing opportunities. Consider the early positions EP. Those players who act first or second after the blinds, often referred to as under the gun UTG or UTG plus one. When a player in early position decides to open the pot, their hand range is generally understood to be stronger than someone opening from later positions. Why? Because they face the daunting prospect of playing the entire hand out of position against potentially many opponents. To compensate for this disadvantage, they must begin with a more robust collection of cards. If you, as a player, decide to 3-bet an early position opener, you typically need an even stronger hand yourself. The reason is simple. If the early position player calls your 3-bet, you will be playing the rest of the hand out of position against them. This situation, where you have to act first on the flop, turn, and river, makes navigating the hand considerably more challenging. You don't get to see if your opponent checked, bet, or raised before you make your move. This is why, when 3-betting from early position, the range of hands you choose to re-raise with tends to be much tighter, almost exclusively focused on premium value hands, the strongest cards that are likely to win. A speculative 3-bet bluff from early position is a dangerous proposition, often reserved for highly specialized situations against very specific opponents. For instance, if the UTG player opens and you, sitting UTG plus 1, 3-bet, and the UTG player calls, you'll be out of position for the rest of the hand. This requires absolute confidence in your hand's strength. Moving along the table, we encounter the middle position's MP. Players in these seats, like the LaJack or HiJack, still face some positional challenges, but their opening ranges are slightly wider than those from early position. When 3-betting from middle position, the same principles apply. You're likely to be out of position against many callers. While you might consider a slightly wider 3-betting range than from early position, it still needs to be relatively strong to withstand the positional disadvantage. Furthermore, you must always be acutely aware of players yet to act behind you in late position. They might cold call your 3-bet call without having made any prior action or even 4-bet re-raise your 3-bet, leveraging their own positional advantage against you. The true magic of position, however, fully manifests in late positions LP, specifically the cutoff CO and the button BTN. These are the seats of power in poker. When a player 3-bets from the cutoff or, even more potently, from the button, they are guaranteed to be in position against the original opener for the entire hand, assuming the opener calls. This is a game changer. The advantages are manifold. Firstly, that information edge. You get to observe your opponent's actions on every single street, the flop, the turn, and the river, before you have to make your own decision. Did they check weakly? Did they bet strongly? This provides crucial data points that allow you to make more precise and profitable choices. Secondly, you gain significant control over the pot size. If you have a strong hand, you can choose to bet larger to build the pot. If you have a marginal hand or a bluff, you can bet smaller or even check behind to keep the pot manageable. Thirdly, bluffing becomes considerably easier and more effective. Being in position means you can make a continuation bet on the flop, and if checked to, you can check behind and still apply pressure on later streets. You can also represent stronger hands more credibly because you have the power of the last action. This immense positional advantage allows players to significantly widen their 3-betting range from late position. You can profitably incorporate more speculative hands and bluffs because the post-flop dynamics work in your favor. This is often referred to as a light 3-bet, or a polarized 3-betting range, where you combine your absolute best hands with carefully chosen bluffs. For example, if the cutoff opens and you, on the button, 3-bet, you will have position on the cutoff for the rest of the hand. This allows you to play a much broader spectrum of hands profitably, transforming marginal holdings into powerful tools for aggression. Finally, we arrive at the blinds, the small blind SB and the big blind BB. the most challenging positions preflop. If you 3-bet from either of the blinds and the original raiser calls, you will be playing the entire hand out of position against them. This is the least desirable scenario in poker. Consequently, 3-betting from the blinds typically demands an even tighter, more robust, and primarily value-oriented hand range. You need hands strong enough to overcome the significant positional disadvantage. In the small blind, a 3-bet does offer one minor benefit. It isolates the original raiser, potentially creating a heads-up pot to players rather than a multi-way pot. Playing heads-up out of position is marginally better than playing multi-way out of position, but it's still a considerable hurdle. From the big blind, the situation is slightly different. Because you've already contributed a forced bet, you're getting better pot odds to call an open raise. However, if you choose to 3-bet, you're still committing more chips out of position. Therefore, while a 3-bet from the big blind can be powerful, it still necessitates a strong range to justify the positional woes. The general rule of thumb for both blinds is to be very selective with 3-bets, favoring premium hands that thrive even when played without the benefit of position. With a deep understanding of position's role, we can now delve into the nuanced art of hand selection for 3-betting. This isn't a one-size-fits-all equation. It's a dynamic puzzle influenced by a myriad of factors: your position, your opponent's tendencies, the depth of the stacks, and whether you're playing in a tournament or a cash game. Generally, 3-betting ranges are categorized into two primary types: linear or value-oriented, and polarized. A linear 3-betting range is straightforward. It consists predominantly of your strongest hands, typically the top 5-10% of all possible starting hands. The objective here is simple: build a large pot with hands that are statistical favorites to win. You want to get as much money into the pot as possible when you have the best hand. When do you employ a linear range? Most often, it's when you are out of position OOP. If you're in the blinds 3-betting against an open from any position, or an early/middle position 3-betting an earlier position opener, your positional disadvantage demands a more robust, less speculative range. You simply can't afford to play marginal hands out of position for a large pot. Similarly, against unknown opponents, a linear range is a safer, more conservative approach. You don't have enough information to make sophisticated bluffs, so you stick to pure value. If you're up against opponents known for calling 3-bets with a wide array of hands, a linear range is also excellent because it maximizes value from their loose call-in tendencies. Finally, against very tight openers, players who only open with premium hands themselves, a linear 3-bet range can narrow their options, forcing them to fold or call with strong hands that you might still beat. Examples of hands in a typical linear range include pocket aces AA, kings KK, queens QQ, ace king suited X, ace king offsuit Akko, pocket jacks JJ, ace queen suited X, pocket tens TT, and king queen suited KQS. The exact composition will vary, but the focus remains on raw hand strength. In contrast, a polarized 3-betting range is a more sophisticated construction, deliberately comprising two distinct types of hands: your absolute best value hands and a selection of carefully chosen bluff hands. The value portion of a polarized range includes your premium holdings. Think AA, KK, QQ, ACK. These are the hands you want to play for maximum profit. The bluff portion, however, is where the art comes in. These are hands that are generally too weak to call profitably, but have some inherent playability or, crucially, possess blockers. Blockers are cards in your hand that reduce the probability of your opponent holding a premium hand. For instance, holding an ace makes it less likely your opponent has AA or AK. These bluff hands are chosen for their ability to force folds or, if called, to improve into a strong hand post-flop. When is a polarized range the weapon of choice? Primarily, when you are in position IP, such as on the cutoff or button. The positional advantage grants you the flexibility to incorporate bluffs, knowing you'll have the information advantage post-flop. It's also highly effective against tight or foldy opponents, those who are prone to folding frequently to 3-bets. If they fold often, you don't need a strong hand to profit, a bluff will do the trick. Similarly, if opponents rarely 4-bet re-raise your 3-bet, it makes 3-betting with bluffs less risky and more profitable. Finally, and crucially, polarizing your range is essential for balance. If you only ever 3-bet with value hands from late position, opponents will exploit that predictability. A polarized range keeps them guessing, making your value bets more profitable in the long run. What kinds of hands make good bluffs in a polarized range? Asterisk suited connectors. Hands like 54s, 65s, 76s, and so on. They have excellent equity realization, meaning they can easily hit strong draws or even powerful pairs / straights / flushes on the flop. They also block some premium hands, e.g., 76s blocks pocket 7s or 6s. Asterisk suited aces ace rag, a2s a5s are prime examples. The ace serves as a blocker against AA or AK, reducing the chances your opponent has a monster. They also have nut flush potential, the highest possible flush, and can hit straights. Asterisk small pairs. While less common as pure bluffs, hands like 22-55 can sometimes be included in a very wide polarized range, especially if you're set mining, hoping to hit three of a kind on the flop. Asterisk offsuit Broadway hands with blockers. KJO or QJO might occasionally be included if they block key parts of an opponent's range. Beyond the linear and polarized frameworks, several other factors critically influence your hand selection. Asterisk opponent's opening range. If a player opens very tightly, your 3-betting range needs to be tighter for value, or you can exploit their tightness with more bluffs if they fold often. A loose opener, conversely, allows for a wider value 3-betting range. Asterisk opponents fold to 3-bet percentage. This is a crucial statistic. If an opponent folds to 3-bets frequently, you can increase your bluffing frequency. If they call often, you need to tighten your range and lean towards value. Asterisk opponents 4-bet percentage. An opponent who 4-bets frequently makes 3-betting bluffs much riskier. You must be prepared to fold to their 4-bet or have a plan to call or 5-bet. Asterisk stack sizes. Deeper stacks, more chips in play allow for more post-flop maneuverability and the realization of equity, favoring speculative bluffs. Shorter stacks, with less room for post-flop play, tend to favor a more linear, value-heavy range, as you're often playing for all the chips on the flop or turn. Asterisk table dynamics. An aggressive table with many players prone to re-raising or calling might force you to tighten your 3-betting range. A passive table, conversely, might allow you to widen it and take advantage of their reluctance to fight back. Let's ground this theory in some practical scenarios and thought-provoking questions. Scenario 1. Button vs. Cutoff. Imagine the cutoff CO, a player known for opening a respectable range of hands, opens for 2.5 big blinds. You are on the button BTN, holding a prime positional advantage. Here, a polarized 3-betting strategy is your go-to. Your value hands would naturally include AA, KK, QQ, AK, AKO, JJ, and AQs, the top-tier holdings. For bluffs, you'd consider hands like A2s, A5s for blockers and playability, K9s, KJ, Q9s, QJ, JD, T9s, 98s, 87s, and 76s for their flush and straight potential. Now, consider this. How would your 3-betting size change if you knew the CO folds to 3-bets 70% of the time versus only 40% of the time? If they fold 70% of the time, you could likely use a smaller 3-bet size, as you don't need to risk as many chips to get the fold. Your bluffs become incredibly profitable. If they only fold 40% of the time, you might need a larger 3-bet size to extract maximum value from your strong hands and make calling with weaker hands less appealing for them. Your bluffs become riskier, and you'd likely reduce their frequency. Scenario 2. Small blind vs. Logic MP. The Logic MP opens for 3 big blinds. You are in the small blind SB. This is a tough spot due to being out of position against the Logic and potentially the big blind. This situation screams for a tighter, more linear 3-betting range. Your value hands might include AA, KK, QQ, AK, AKO, JJ, AK, TD, and KQs. Bluffs are almost non-existent here. Perhaps, a very strong suited ace like A5s or A4s if you know the logic is an extreme folder to 3-bets, and the big blind is a very tight player, making a call from them unlikely. A critical question arises. What are the risks of 3-betting a medium-strength hand like KJ's from the small blind in this situation? The primary risk is that if the logic calls, you will be playing a medium-strength hand out of position in a bloated pot. This makes it incredibly difficult to navigate post-flop. You'll often be guessing, potentially checking down strong hands that might be leading, or betting into stronger hands. How would a flat call differ strategically? Flat calling with KJs from the SB would keep the pot smaller, allowing you to see a flop cheaply. You'd still be out of position, but with less committed capital, you could more easily fold if the flop doesn't improve your hand, or check call slash check raise if you hit something strong. The goal would be to contain the pot and realize your equity more cautiously. Scenario 3. Big blind vs. button. The button BTN opens for a modest 2 big blinds. You are in the big blind BB. You're still out of position. But the small initial raise means you're getting excellent pot odds to defend your big blind. Your 3-betting range here could be a slightly wider linear range than from the SB, or a very thin polarized range, balancing value with some high equity bluffs. Value hands might stretch from AA down to JJ, AK, AKO, AK, KQ, and QJs. For bluffs, A2s, A5s are still excellent choices due to their blockers and playability. Some suited connectors might find their way in if the button is known to fold frequently to 3-bets. Consider this. Given the excellent pot odds in the big blind, when might it be more profitable to simply call the buttons open rather than 3-betting, even with a decent hand? If your hand is one that plays well multi-way or needs to see a cheap flop to develop like small pairs hoping to hit a set, or suited connectors hoping for a draw, calling might be better. Also, if the button is very loose and calls 3-bets widely, you might prefer to call with hands that can flop strong and then play a more nuanced post-flop game in position, rather than inflating the pot per flop with a hand that might not be a huge favorite. Calling preserves your options and keeps the pot size manageable, especially with hands that have good implied odds. It's important to acknowledge that in the ever-evolving landscape of poker strategy, not all aspects of 3-betting are universally agreed upon. Scholars and high-level players constantly debate and refine these concepts. For instance, the optimal 3-betting frequencies for different positions and opponent types remain a subject of intense discussion. While general guidelines exist, the perfect frequency is often a moving target. Influenced by the theoretical ideals of game theory, optimal GTO play versus the practical realities of exploitative play, which targets specific opponent weaknesses. Similarly, there's no singular consensus on the best bluff hands for 3-betting. Some pros swear by suited aces for their blocking capabilities. Others favor suited connectors for their raw playability and potential to make strong draws. And a few even advocate for offsuit Broadway hands that block premium holdings. The choice often boils down to a player's individual style, their understanding of board textures, and their post-flop plans. The optimal sizing of a 3-bet is another complex topic. Smaller 3-bets risk giving opponents better odds to call, potentially leading to multi-way pots that are harder to navigate. Larger 3-bets, while more likely to get folds, also risk folding out weaker hands that might have called a smaller bet, thereby denying value. The correct size is a delicate balance, dependent on the opponent's range, their tendencies, and the effective stack depths. Finally, the philosophical tug-of-war between GTO game theory optimal and exploitative 3-betting is a hallmark of modern poker strategy. GTO principles aim to create unexploitable strategies, ensuring that no opponent can gain an edge regardless of how they play. Exploitative strategies, on the other hand, are designed to capitalize directly on known weaknesses of specific opponents. Both approaches have their merits, and the most successful players often blend elements of both, adapting their style to the specific context of the table. Understanding these fundamentals, the definition, the strategic purposes, the paramount importance of position, and the nuanced approaches to hand selection, provides a robust foundation for mastering 3-betting. It transforms a simple rerace into a powerful strategic weapon, allowing players to leverage their positional advantages and make more informed, profitable decisions before the community cards even hint at the future. In the quiet intensity of preflop play, the 3-bet is often the loudest statement.